Turn with me in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, and I guess I'll just say turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Well, tonight will be a little bit different. We are now starting for the rest of the year focusing on the book of Proverbs. And this month, taking the first four chapters, what I'd encourage you to do is read through those first four chapters, maybe several times. If you can read the four chapters a day, every day, do that. I haven't done that yet. I generally get reading and caught up in something as I'm reading, and I don't get through the whole part of it. I'll also listen to it. I've done that as well. So sometimes you can go online and be able to listen to that, or one of your apps, you can choose to listen to having it read to you. And there's often I pick up something I miss in my own reading of it that I find helpful. I also find helpful sometimes to have him reading it while I'm looking and watching and through it. Yesterday when I did it, I was actually driving. And so I was just listening as I was driving. And I benefited in doing that, and so I'd encourage you to do the same. Proverbs is a little bit different than many, really all of the other books of the Bible, and I want to explain some of those differences. I found it interesting that it was exactly 6 years ago today that I started a Sunday school series in the book of Proverbs called Proverbs Practically Speaking. I remember that series, and 6 years ago I went into a study on the book of Proverbs, totally unlike this. This one, what I'm encouraging you to do this month as you go through and begin to read those opening four chapters, look for verses that you can implement, apply to your life. There may be some type of instruction. I just find the opening four chapters to just be outstanding. They all are, but there's just some outstanding truths there. So tonight, I want to help you to understand this is a poetry book. Now, there are five books of poetry, but they're all unique. And the poetry and the way it's expressed are all unique. So I want to help us to just kind of understand that. So this is going to be a very practical challenge. It's not going to be a preaching type thing, but just giving you a basic understanding. So tonight, I just simply entitled Understanding Proverbs. I just want to help you by giving you tools that will help you to understand the book of Proverbs better and what you can get from it. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Your Father, as we now come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for the opening song sung, and even the song just sung by Caleb and Sarah, being at rest in perfect peace, so well going along with the series in the book of Romans. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that every book isn't the same. I thank you even the way the poetry is written. It's not all the same. This, while it and Psalms are both poetical books, along with the other three, it's just so different and so unique. So, Father, may we take and try to understand the truths found in this great book in a very unique sense. May we really gain an appreciation, I guess I want to say, for how you have had this book written for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This book lacks maybe what the personal connection that you might get from the book of Psalms. A lot of times Psalms is written in such a way that there's almost like a personal connection. Maybe it's the way David is writing, you feel the same way as David does, or maybe as Asaph is writing, or the sons of Korah, whoever it may be, some of the unknown writers in the book of Psalms. And there's kind of a personal connection. You feel like been there, done that. Oh, that's where I am now. This is helpful. Where the book of Proverbs has these short statements. There are a few dialogue-type chapters, but a majority of the chapters are just brief statements. And in fact, it might be a brief statement about my words, and then it might be a brief statement about just wisdom in general, and then it might be a brief statement about not being lazy, and then go back to a word, another verse on words. And so you kind of can find it sometimes really difficult to read because it's not like a flowing narrative. I just want you to understand from the very beginning, this is not a flowing narrative. You'll get a couple. You get some in chapter 5, but again, it's instructional. You get some in chapter 7. Again, it's instructional. You'll get some in chapter 26. Chapter 31 does the same. But a lot of it is just short. They are proverbs. Now, what is a proverb? Well, a proverb has been likened unto a parable. It's a little bit different than we think of. Christ would often share a parable, and it was, again, somewhat of a flowing story. These aren't flowing stories for the most part, but some of them are. So it could be it's a parable. It's a short statement that generally is going to impart wisdom. The primary, really behind-the-scenes approach here is to be very practical and to try to somehow instill wisdom or warn someone against their foolishness. The warning against foolishness is to help make you wise. Now, when I think of proverbs, there's a couple statements that I just wrote down. Number one, I think of practical. I think of poetry. And again, I'm going to explain some of the poetry and how it's laid out. I think of wisdom over and over again. It speaks of the wise or wisdom. It does speak of fools, but I love the study of the fool in Proverbs. I don't know. Maybe it says something about my character or bent. But there are some that are simple, there are some that are stubborn, and there are some that are scornful. So when it mentions a fool, you have to kind of try to get the context there. Every child, the Bible says that every child is born a fool. Well, that doesn't mean they're born a stubborn fool, but they are born simple fools. And the rod of correction can drive that simple foolishness from them. If someone, as they grow, sometimes becomes a little bit more hardened, and then they become what we would call a stubborn fool. And there are a number of verses that just state the stubbornness of some fools. They don't want to hear it. When coming to wisdom, they just don't want to hear it. It's like casting a pearl before the swine, the scripture talks about. They don't want it. And then there are others that become scornful. They not only do foolish things, but try to get others to do the same. You find that here in chapter 1, as he's warning his son. He says, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, so he's talking about somebody who's a scornful fool. They're actually not only getting into trouble, but they're trying to get others to join them and get into trouble as well. So I find it practical, I find it poetry, I find it wisdom, giving us a lot of wisdom. I find it teaching and instruction. Not for the most part, this is Solomon trying to instruct his son, but he does say at times, children, hear ye. And so I think he has more than just a son in mind when he gives this instruction. I find it interesting, I was meditating on this thought this week, let me kind of jump ship here for a little bit. It has been encouraged sometimes to read 3 Psalms a day and to read 1 proverb. So you can read 3 of the Psalms in a day and you read 1 proverb, and what you're going to basically do is get through most of it in a month, basically all the proverbs and a majority of the Psalms. Others would encourage try to read 5 Psalms a day and 1 chapter of Proverbs, and you will get a really solid dose of wisdom from the Lord. How many of you have taken on the task, maybe repeatedly in your life, maybe for a while, maybe you're not doing it now, but to read basically 1 chapter of Proverbs a day and try to do that in a month? How many of you at least have? A large majority of you have. And what I thought about, I thought this is kind of geared toward a child, but man, I learned from it. That it's written that a child can get something and kind of spare a child from going the wrong direction. And some of it's about borrowing. So we're not always talking about a 6-year-old here. Hopefully we don't have any of our 6-year-olds going into debt and purchasing something beyond their means. But it's written on a child to get the attention of a child, but it's also very practical for an adult. I find a lot of things that are very helpful. And again, the Lord brought together this study and my study on Wednesday night on words to kind of coincide at the same period of time. So a lot of this is teaching and instruction. So I want to begin now in chapter 1. And I only really want to cover the first 6 verses, and then I want to give you some simple statements and we'll go home. But I think the very opening 6 verses of Proverbs it is really helpful to understand what the Proverbs are doing, and maybe to just give you a little bit of instruction to know what this book is going to look like. The Proverbs of Solomon. By the way, not all these Proverbs are from Solomon. You're going to learn Lemuel, Aguar, and so forth are going to write later on. But the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now, why was he writing these Proverbs? Now, notice this. Verse 2, to know. He's going to say then later in verse 2, to perceive. He's going to say in verse number 3, to receive, to perceive, and then to receive, and then to give in verse number 4, and then to understand in verse number 6. So let's read through this, but as he's giving these Proverbs, he says it's to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive. Now that's our word for discern. To perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion. Again, that's the idea of discernment here. So here it's to know wisdom, it's to perceive the words of understanding, it's to receive the instruction, it's to give subtlety. And in fact, I think what it's really doing is absorbing. If we would listen to this and take it in, it'll begin to absorb into our spiritual makeup. Verse number 5, a wise man will hear. So what's our obligation then? Well, if the duty was to know wisdom and to receive it and all, we need to then, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding will attain unto wise counsel. And our obligation is really to come into this book open-hearted, saying, Lord, if this is about warning about foolishness and teaching on how to be wise, man, I ought to come in this open-hearted, wanting to learn. And so a wise man will hear and will increase in learning and so forth. To understand a proverb and the interpretation. So notice that. To understand a proverb and the interpretation. I'm going to end this message tonight in a little bit talking about some of the variations of the parallelisms given in Proverbs. I want you to understand as well, I don't mind at all, and I would encourage taking a month and reading through. But I want you to know, if you're reading through a chapter of Proverbs a day, you're not getting it all. And so I would encourage you to do that repeatedly and focus in various ways, because some of these Proverbs are written with one type of parallelism in mind, and another one's written in a different way, and some of them are trying to give you word pictures to absorb what's really being said. So if you're just reading through verse after verse after verse, you're missing some beautiful pictures. So it says it's to understand a proverb. It takes a little bit to understand it. And the interpretation. So we're actually supposed to interpret these proverbs out. The words of the wise and their dark sayings. Now, I've always been kind of challenged with this. I've studied a number of times what does the phrase dark sayings mean. But it kind of comes across with an ominous tone. But actually what it's talking about, something that's a riddle or something that could even be perplexing. Not easily understood. The conclusion not easily reached. So it might take you a little bit in some of these proverbs to stop. Okay, what is he really saying here? What is he trying to teach his son, and how can I apply it to my heart and life? So I want you to understand from the very beginning as he lays out, I think in the opening six verses, I think that contains the opening paragraph there. He says, I want you to know wisdom. He says, I want you to perceive, I want you to discern the difference between the fool and the wise. I want you to receive this judgment and justice and equity. I want to give you subtlety to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion. I want to give you something by these Proverbs. I want you to hear it. I want you to receive it and understand it, attain unto these wise counsel. And then I want you to understand the Proverbs and their dark saying. By the way, this book will repeatedly use several words, that is, wisdom, instruction or knowledge, also understanding, and discernment. I have it on your study sheet, I believe. In general, when it talks about knowledge, it's talking about what just simply what it says. when it's talking about understanding, or as he says here, to understand a proverb, it's talking about, I don't want you to just know what it says, I want you to know what it means. Then wisdom is knowing how to use it. So there's a difference between knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Knowledge is just getting the information. Understanding is, okay, now I understand what it means. Now wisdom is beginning to apply it to my life. So not everyone is wise. There are people who have a lot of knowledge but aren't very wise. Why is that? Because they're taking in all the information, but they're not really understanding what it looks like in their life. Then there's another set of words, which I've already mentioned here, but it's the idea of discernment or discretion or to perceive, and that again has the ability to divide between and to see the difference. And so throughout this book, he's going to commonly mention knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and even discretion, or one of those phrases. And I just want you to have a basic understanding, though, what is he getting at? Now, at times, they overlap a little bit, so be gracious there. At times, he's going to use knowledge a little bit more like understanding, and at times, he's going to use understanding a little bit more like wisdom. But in general, when you see those words, to know something or to have knowledge is simply to know what it says, to have understanding, know what it means, and to have wisdom, know how to apply it in your life. Don't you wish we had more wisdom in the world in which we live? We would go a lot further. So let me just briefly talk about, from verse 5 here, and I'll extend it beyond that. There are some characteristics of wisdom or a wise person that just stood out to me in my brief study then of the book of Proverbs as a whole going into this. A wise person from the very beginning is somebody who simply will listen. I used to say to our children growing up, may not remember, okay, look at me, now listen, and then learn good enough that you can tell me back what I said. Sometimes parents, they're looking at you, but they're not listening. Sometimes they're not even looking at you, and for sure they're not listening then. No, that's not always true. Sometimes they're busy, but still listening. But I think a lot of times as a parent, wanting to make sure they get something across, it's good to say, look at me, now listen, now learn what I'm saying well enough that you can repeat it back to me. And so with some of your children, that is the most important part, getting them to repeat it back, because sometimes they're not getting what you're saying at all. But it starts, you can be a wise person without having a lot of intelligence. Okay? The Bible says he can give understanding to the simple. Just listen. Be humble enough and willing enough to just stop and listen. If somebody's trying to give you instruction, at least listen. Don't be objecting right off. Don't be dismissing because you think you know more. A wise person will listen. Look at verse number 5. A wise man will hear. I had a number of other verses, but verse number 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. So I just want you to, first of all, start by listening. And so I would encourage you as parents to really try to get your children to learn how to focus. I think one good practice is to speak their name and get their attention before you start talking. Sometimes as a parent or as a wife, you may be speaking a while and then you put your husband's name at the end of the sentence. Oh, you've been talking to me this whole time? Well, I haven't been listening to you this whole time. I think it's really good practice to put their name at the beginning, make sure you got their attention and go from there. They not only will listen, but then look at this, and they will increase their learning so that they're getting something out of what's being said. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. In Proverbs 9:9, it says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. So again, it's a wise person will simply listen and begin to learn, begin to put some truths together. In Proverbs 10:14, it says, wise men lay up knowledge. So they take that. Wow, I'm going to think about that. And so just simply being wise, you start by listening, you try to learn and begin to build on that. Sometimes you say, man, I wish I remember what my dad said in a situation like this. By the way, I find this, that wise people don't just listen when they need it. Sometimes you talk to somebody and they're not there yet, so they don't really take it in, but other people, they take it in right away. I think if we're really wise, we'll listen, we'll say, but I don't really need this right now, but I might someday, and retain that kind of information. But then they also then will obey what they hear. Look at the remainder of this verse. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Again, what's he going to do? He is going to try to do that which is being taught to him. A wise man will also flee sin, according to Proverbs 14. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but a fool rageth and is confident. A wise man will watch what he says. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. We mentioned that briefly this past Wednesday night. It comes from the heart. So somebody that's wise is really watching what they say. That is repeated many times in the book of Proverbs. I could share with you many verses. A wise man will lead others to Christ. This verse has been impactful in my thoughts. The fruit of the righteousness of the tree is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Boy, we ought to be out there trying to become wise. We ought to be out there trying to talk to people about the Lord and getting involved in that way. They are diligent at their work. He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son. So a wise person is one who is very diligent. So turn with me now, or we'll stay in chapter 1. I want to now, for the remaining part of the time, and probably 5 to 7 minutes, I want to talk to us about some of the parallelisms. And I want to show you by example what some of them are, so that when you get to them, you'll see what is being done. I actually have some charts that I made up that when I'm going through the book of Proverbs, I can refer to them and try to understand, okay, what kind of parallelism is going on here and how am I to use this? Some of them are called what is called synonymous parallelism, and I'm just going to read what I have on the sheet for you. The second line of poetry repeats the first line without making significant changes. Now, they're often going to use synonyms, but actually both lines are saying the same thing. This is very Hebrew. I'm going to say Hebrew because we're in the Old Testament. There's a difference in the meaning of Hebrew than Israel and Jewish. They were the children of Israel. They were Hebrews. They were Jews. Does anybody know what the word Hebrew means? It actually means those that have crossed over. So when they were called the Hebrews, they were those that crossed over. It could have had its early meaning from Abraham when he crossed and left the Ur of Chaldees and crossed over. Of course, they'd be known for crossing over the Red Sea, and then they'd also be known for crossing over the Jordan into those new lands in which the Lord wanted them to go. And so for the Hebrews, they would often use, to try to get the point across, they'd state the same thing in two different ways. This was common for their teaching. If they were going to set children down and teach them, they would commonly make two statements that basically lined up, but used different words so that you just start to put it together. If you could understand some of those words, you'd start to put the idea together. Well, let's look here, chapter 1 and verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. Then you have the semicolon there. She uttereth her voice in the streets. So just giving a little bit more information. What does wisdom do? What? She uttereth her voice in the streets. Wisdom is going to be a personification of the Lord Jesus Christ in many parts of Proverbs. And here, this is what wisdom does. So a person can't say, I didn't know, or I had no way of knowing. Well, wisdom should be constantly crying out. Look at chapter 9 with me. I'll take you to two others. Chapter 9 and verse number 10. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." This kind of relates back to a little bit to the theme even of where we are going with this. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now there's a colon, And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So if I would have the fear of the Lord, I would have the knowledge of the holy. And it's going to be the beginning of wisdom, or it is going to be the beginning of understanding. I'm going to understand better what I am to do. Go over to chapter 17 yet. Chapter 17 and verse number 4. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. So somebody who is a wicked person or a sinful person, we're going to come to this conclusion, are willing to listen to someone who is equally sinful, is really the bottom line of that proverb. A sinful person is willing to listen to an equally sinful person. If you take those two steps, so again, this is why I say if you're reading through a chapter of Proverbs a day, you don't have the time to necessarily always think through what that is ultimately saying. But when you study out verse number 4 of chapter 17, the conclusion you would draw from that is a sinful person often listens to an equally sinful person. That's the conclusion you're going to draw. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Turn now with me to chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 10. There's also what's called antithetic parallelisms, where the second line of the poetry actually contrasts or even negates the first line. This is common. This is one of the more common uses throughout the book of Proverbs. A wise son, verse number 1, maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. So a total kind of contrast here, talking about the father in the first phrase, the mother in the second phrase. A wise son versus a foolish son, making a glad heart versus making a heavy heart. So what this is a type of parallelism that's taking two opposites and comparing the two together. And of course, what he's trying to draw out of his son is to become a wise son, one who will actually make his parents happy, bring joy out in their life. Turn over to chapter 12. Let me show you two more of these. This is what life looks like. This is what it looks like to the being wise. This is what it looks like being foolish. Now make sure you make the right choice. In chapter 12, verse 5, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. So again, contrasting what is coming from the mind or even the mouth of the righteous or the wicked, the thoughts of the righteous, they're right. I like that, easy to remember. But the counsels of the wicked, they're deceitful. They're not right. And so that ought to be a warning, number one, of the friends you might be around, making sure that you aren't caught up in the deceit of wicked friends or wicked people. It ought to also be a good warning to you. Make sure that you are not wicked by being a deceitful person. Let's look at one more of these. Let's go over to chapter 27. Chapter 27. Now, what do I do? Well, in my Bible, very often I do one of two things. When I get to the word but in there, I'm going to either shade it with yellow so it stands out that there's a contrast, or I might put a box or a circle around it. Depending just kind of where I am in the flow of my study. So I want that to stand out to me, and it already begins to help me to help interpret this. Again, going back to chapter 1, he wanted them to interpret these proverbs. We ought to want to stop and interpret them. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Can you help me to interpret that? I'm looking at chapter 27. I'm looking at verse number 6. I'm going to read it again. I'm just going to see if anybody will give me a response here. What is this verse ultimately saying? Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Yes, Brother Tim. Okay, very good. Both of them can be hurtful, but one's giving it to help, the other's giving it to hurt. Good. Somebody else. Brother Jim. Okay, good. So he's interpreting that. Very good. The kisses of an enemy. Boy, word picture that one. Picture an enemy coming up to you and kissing you. But the idea here is they're just trying to give you what you want to hear. I think Jim has brought out a really good point there. Anyone else? Something you noticed just about that verse, Brother Ted? Yeah. Bible talks about earthly wisdom compared to heavenly wisdom in the book of James, the third chapter. And so they're both using wisdom, but different forms of it. I think a really, really good observation there by Brother Ted. So they're both using wisdom, but one is using a worldly type of wisdom that is ultimately going to hurt you, and the other one's using a godly type of wisdom that may hurt, but it's ultimately meant to help you. Anyone else? A comment to there. Okay. Pastor Terry. Yeah. Good, good. So I think this is good. I think we've gotten kind of the interpretation of what's going on here. This is, again, what would be called an antithetic parallelism. So it's set apart. It's not always using the word but. The three that I chose tonight do. But that is often the idea there. They're setting a stark contrast. Then turn with me over to chapter 15. We're just going to look at two here. It's what is called synthetic parallelism. By the way, the key is not walking away from this trying to remember the exact names of the parallelisms, but I'm giving them to you along with their explanation. The lines parallel each other in form alone, and the second line completes, advances, or develops the thought of the first line, supplying additional ideas. Let's just look here. The eyes of the Lord, verse 3, are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So the second line there is just adding more information. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And so it's a parallelism, but again, it's flowing, it's giving additional information. Look at chapter 16 and verse number 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. So the Lord has even made the wicked, and he has an intent toward that. And then finally, it's what's called emblematic. And I'd like you to turn with me to chapter 3. We're going to look at chapter 3, 10, and 11, and we're done. Emblematic. Emblematic parallelism is one, the one line is literal and the other line is figurative. Together they form what would be like a simile of words, like or as, introducing one of the lines, usually the figurative line. So I like these. I try to stop and think about these a little bit. For the Lord, verse 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. So he's trying to use some type of a simile here, something that's similar. So you can understand the Lord by looking at a father. And a father, a son whom he delighteth, and a son whom he delighteth, he corrects them. It's not because you hate them that you correct them. It's because you love them. You want to see them improve. You want to see them to become a better person. You want to see them become more wise. So you make the correction. And sometimes children really hate a parent the way they, you know, keep correcting them, the way they keep trying to change them, the way they're doing things. And it's not because a parent hates them, it's because a parent loves them, or it should be, and that's often the way it is. But a child will rebel to that at times, and a child doesn't want to hear it. And the child says, you need to just trust me. Well, you need to somewhat trust your parents that they're trying to train you in the way that will be good for you. Look at chapter 10, verse 26. This is one of the interesting ones. Maybe you can help me with this one. as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is a sluggard to them that send him. Who can help me with the interpretation of that verse? Yes, Samantha. They're a pain and a grief there. And that's a well spoken there. Someone else? Anyone else? Yes, Becky. Oh. That's a good thought there. So added thought from Dr. Pope there, giving us additional information. And as smoke to the eyes, so the sluggard is to them that send him. Again, it's an irritant. If you're trying to get something done, what does the Bible talk about? You want a faithful witness, but there's one basically you don't want someone delivering a message, but that is a broken letter. Boy, I'm writing my own Proverbs now. But basically, you don't want someone delivering a message that is lame. You want someone that is healthy and good. So again, the warning is against the sluggard, someone who's lazy. So take time to meditate on these. Think through them a little bit. Maybe even do a little bit of study. Let's do one more. It's right here in chapter 11, verse 22. As a jewel of gold. Now, I want to hear this from Dr. Pope. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Wow, that one's loaded. If you're reading a chapter a day and not, you're probably not spending much time in really understanding that verse. I'm not even going to ask for an interpretation yet tonight. But boy, doesn't that make you stop and think. And that's what these verses, let me conclude with this. Proverbs are statements that are made to make you stop and think. And really try to adjust your life that they make you more wise. These are not written in easily flowing lines. Each one, again, you can go from verse to verse to verse, and they're addressing different topics from a different direction. I had it laid out. I didn't bring it with me tonight, but I have it laid out like verses in a row that are using four of the different parallelism, talking about five different subjects. It is. It's challenging. But there is great wisdom here. What I think is ultimately really good, sometimes especially in parenting, I have a couple of books like this. I think one's called Wellsprings of Life on the book of Proverbs. But there are a couple of books that take then all the thoughts around the sluggard and put them together, and all the verses around pride and humility and put them together. It can be a real treasure chest in understanding a specific topic. So sometimes you take these scattered verses and try to pull them together to help us to understand. So again, I just wanted to share with you tonight, because some of you younger in Christ, some of you haven't known a lot about the book of Proverbs, I want you to know it's different. It is very different. Very helpful. Take some time to discern them. It's to give you wisdom and understanding. It's to help you to grow. This is written to for a child to be able to absorb. Now, I'm not saying, again, a 2- and 3-year-old or something like that. But this is written for a child's level, but also can be a great benefit to us as we get older in years. Dear Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word. Father, help us to work at this. Help us to get in there. This is one of those books you kind of study. You kind of stop and think verse after verse. And so I pray that we would take the time to meditate on these Proverbs. We would try to learn from them and grow thereby. I pray that next week, as we would bring up Proverbs again, maybe there'll be some testimonies of some changes in our lives. Father, may this book impact us and make us more like Jesus Christ, who is the personification of wisdom. Thank you that for those that followed you and believers' baptism today. Thank you for those that have come and attended the service. Thank you for those that were an encouragement one to another. Give us protection as we go home this night. May we enjoy some fellowship before leaving. And may you strengthen our families. It was good to see Will and the baby here this morning. And Talitha, thank you for blessing them. Thank you for blessing Craig and Amanda most recently. We pray for our other ladies that are expecting and ask for your protection and strength upon them, especially the closer and closer they get to their delivery. Guide in these families. Give great wisdom to them. And I pray that we will please you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.